We're going to round out the hour today talking with Joey Clift, an emerging comedian who almost chose a very different career path.
I knew that I liked making people laugh, and I knew that I wanted to work in comedy, but because I didn't really see any other Native American comedians on TV, I didn't think I was allowed to work in comedy. So instead, I went to school for what to me was the next best thing, to be a small market TV weather guy. Fortunately, when I was in college, a bunch of my professors realized that that was kind of what my plan was, and they pulled me aside and were just like, hey, you know, you could just actually work in comedy, right? This was about 2010. I moved to Los Angeles around then, and then just kind of dove with both feet into the LA comedy community and haven't looked back.
Joey is an enrolled member of the Cowlitz Indian tribe and grew up on the Tulalip Reservation in Washington State. During his time in Hollywood, Joey's written for shows on Cartoon Network and Nickelodeon. And this month, Joey was announced as one of the writers for an upcoming children's show on Netflix called Spirit Rangers. It's the first U.S. animated show to have an all-Native American writer's room. When I spoke to Joey, he began by telling me how working on Spirit Rangers has compared to his experiences on other shows.
Usually when I'm writing on shows, I've written on, you know, a bunch of shows for a bunch of different places. Being the only Native in the room, whenever I pitch Native ideas or Native storylines or Native jokes, I'm aware that I'm coming in from a level of, like, the average person doesn't know a ton of about Natives, so, like, for them to get a joke, I have to explain to them, first off, I grew up in a house and not a cave. So it's like, that's the low level of knowledge base that we're working from. And something that's great about Spirit Rangers, because it's an all-Native room, is we can just kind of get to it. We can, like, get into, you know, deep Native subject matter and, like, you know, just, like, great, you know, Native mythology and Native lore and stuff like that. Like, that I would have to, like, unpack for a non-Native room for them to get to, you know, the meat of the stories and stuff.
And, I mean, again, we talk about this a lot on the show, but this is the first all-Native American writer's room for a U.S. animated show. It's 2020. Why did it take so long?
The short answer of that is racism.
I mean, I kind of knew that, but I had to let the question go out. Yes.
Right. You know, like, hopefully it's not a surprise to, you know, you as well as the listeners that Native people haven't been treated super well in the media, you know, over the past 200, 250 years or so. We're also coming across in 2020 when a couple months ago, a major sports team franchise for the NFL was named after just straight up a Native racial slur. So, like, you know, I think that we've definitely experienced a lot of growth in, you know, Native issues and stuff like that over the past couple years. But if you ask any Native, it's infuriating and disappointing that it took this long, but not surprising. That said, we're doing great stuff, and I'm super excited about the show. And there are two other Native TV shows in production right now. Sierra Ornelas' Rutherford Falls for Peacock, and Sterling Harjo and Taika Waititi's Reservation Dogs for FX. So, like, in previous years, Native representation wasn't great in television, but I think that, you know, things are really getting better, and it's cool to see.
And you, this summer, you were part of an anti-racism initiative at the UCB. What are some of the changes that you were hoping to see as a result of that? And are we getting closer to that? You just mentioned these two shows.
Yeah, so I'm a part of what's called Project Rethink at UCB. It's kind of a like an unofficial think tank of performers, comedians, and writers from marginalized groups who are basically trying to do what we can to improve diversity, equity, inclusion at, you know, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater, and also just, you know, comedy theaters around Los Angeles. So a lot of my personal goal with my involvement in Project Rethink is to do something called pipeline building, using kind of the Native experience and Native Hollywood as an example. There are so many talented Native comedians, Native actors, Native performers, and Native writers who are doing great stuff in, I would say, like, primarily Native places. So there's an all-Native theater ensemble called Native Voices that runs out of the Autry Museum in Los Angeles. There are a lot of really great things happening around, you know, the Sundance Film Festival and a lot of other places. But a lot of those performers aren't necessarily getting shots in kind of, like, mainstream places. People are doing great work, but, you know, your average Hollywood executive probably isn't going to these shows in the same way that they're going to The Comedy Store, Groundling, Second City, UCB, and et cetera. So, you know, a lot of what my goal is with Project Rethink is to, like, build a pipeline between these Native spaces into more mainstream spaces. So people that are extremely talented, that have been doing the work, that are super funny, who have been killing it for decades, get to be seen by people who can boost them up and give them jobs and et cetera.
Well, let's talk about that, because you did a takeover of the Comedy Central Instagram on Indigenous Peoples Day this year, which itself has taken quite some time to even change that day to reflect and think about Indigenous people. What was your goal with the platform that day?
So I mentioned that I started doing the UCB All-Native comedy show on Columbus Day / Indigenous Peoples Day in 2018. It was a standing room only sellout. It was a great show. We did it again in 2019. It was also a sellout and a really good show. And some of the comedians even kind of got discovered for, you know, TV writing jobs and acting gigs and stuff like that off the 2019 show. They were all extremely talented before that, and they definitely, you know, deserved and earned the opportunity. But I feel like the show probably helped them get on some radars and stuff. And unfortunately, with 2020, COVID being a thing and live comedy theaters largely, you know, being shut down for the moment, I was kind of racking my brain trying to figure out what's a good way to boost up Native comedians in 2020 if we can't do a big live show. So, you know, I talked to a few of my friends at Comedy Central and a few of my friends at a really great Native nonprofit called Illuminative. And, you know, we kind of put our heads together and thought, oh, it would be cool if I took over Comedy Central's Instagram stories for Indigenous Peoples Day to tell kind of, you know, like jokes about Native stuff. And in addition to that, I worked with Illuminative to put together a list of 25 Native American comedians to follow in 2020. And I did the takeover, you know, to make Comedy Central's, you know, viewer base aware of super funny Native folks, but also to promote this list of super funny Native folks. So, you know, I would say that in spirit, that was the 2020 version of the shows that we'd done in 2019 and 2018 to kind of boost up super funny Native folks.
You also pointed out, Joey, that no Native comedians have been booked to perform stand-up on a network late-night show, and this is unbelievable, since Charlie Hill in the mid-2000s?
Yeah.
If late-night comedy bookers or producers are listening to this interview, what do you have to say to them?
Okay, so the first thing that I have to say to late-night bookers listening to this interview is, what the hell? Native American people have been killing it, doing stand-up in so many great places and have been really, you know, putting in good work. But they haven't been on, like, a single Native comedian hasn't been on a network late night show in the U.S. since probably around 2005, 2006. That's 15, 20 years. And really at that point, I mean, even at this point, I think Charlie Hill is the only Native comedian to ever be on network late night shows. So, you know, I guess that to me, I feel like if you're a booker for a late night show, late night network shows for a lot of people are still kind of like their eyes and ears to what's happening in the rest of the country. And by not booking Native comedians, you're not just robbing yourself of really talented comedians, but you're also robbing the American television audience of like a point of view that isn't just important to listen to, but also like needs to be listened to. Like I said, in a year where you know, sports teams are still named after racial slurs toward Natives, like, I think that having more Native comedian perspectives out there in the media would be a good idea. And also, like, I don't know, if you booked a Native comedian on it, we'd all think you were super cool and you'd have a bunch of Natives like you. So that's cool, right? And we haven't had a Native stand-up comedian on any of the late-night shows in almost two decades. And I don't think there's ever been an enrolled member of a tribe as a cast member or writer on Saturday Night Live. But every year we get a little bit closer. We're lifting each other up and helping each other out. And I feel like we're all proving to people that in 2020, not only are Native American people still here, but we're funny as hell, we've been funny as hell, and folks are finally, finally starting to pay attention.
I think that this is a conversation that it will continue to evolve, but I think we're really excited to see Spirit Rangers and see what you all do with it. Joey Clift is a comedian, staff writer for Netflix's Spirit Rangers, and an enrolled member of the Cowlitz Indian Tribe. Joey, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.